Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Today is a gift from God. Let us use it to praise the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to our worship service on this Palm Sunday. We're delighted that you're here, especially if this is your first time with us. We are pleased that you've joined us, and we want you to feel right at home. So those of us who are here more frequently are going to extend a hand of welcome to you. Find somebody we don't know, introduce ourselves, aren't we? I need to see some nods. Yes, good. But if we don't do that quickly enough, you come and introduce yourself to us, because we want you not only to feel at home, but to find a home here. Welcome all. If you look in your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of information about how you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few things. Of course, this is Holy Week. Our Holy Week services are Maundy Thursday service at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, Good Friday service at noon here in the sanctuary, and the church offices will be closed after noon on Friday. On Easter, there will be two identical services, 8:45 and 11. Between them, we will have our Easter breakfasts at 9:45. That benefits our Habitat for Humanity build, which will be coming up. I know for some of you it's not usually your custom to come to the 8:45 service, but if you could change your custom for one Sunday, it might be helpful, because you see, a lot of visitors who would not be here ordinarily will come to the 11 o'clock service. Usually it's fuller. We don't want to turn anybody away. And so if you feel like you could be here at 8:45, it might be a helpful thing. Also, for those of us who are here regularly, if you could park in the Caterpillar parking garage. It's available to us every Sunday, but especially on Easter, it's helpful. That way, those who need to park closer or those who may not be familiar with the church and this environment will be able to park in our surface parking lot. You'll find an insert with a map of how to get to that parking garage off of West End Avenue in your bulletin. Now, secondly, we begin our spring stock sale today for our summer youth mission trips. You may not be able to physically go on those trips with our youth, but you can be there in spirit by supporting them in a variety of ways, and this is one way you can support them. There's a table in Reed Hall. You will find either Jack Hornsby, Brad Hornsby, Turner Johnson, Henry Royce, or Mark Lowe out there, and I'm sure they will be happy to sell you stock in the summer mission trips. Today is the day we gather. We wave our palms. We shout, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." What will we be shouting later in the week?
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." But Jesus answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would shout out."
Thank you. Blessed are those who follow the Lamb. Let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Even as Jesus comes, triumphant to Jerusalem, the city of David, he weeps for the sin and suffering of his people. We ourselves are his people, and we share in their blindness and idolatry, and do not yet fully perceive the things that make for peace. Let us therefore confess our sin to God and one another. Let us pray. God of justice and love, in your mercy, forgive the sins we have committed through our thoughts, words, and deeds. We have not put our whole trust in you, but have ignored the power of your transforming love. Often we are numb to the grief and suffering of the world. Often our despair conquers our hope. Forgive us, O God. Restore us, we pray, that your grace might amaze us again, that the flame of your compassionate love might burn in our hearts, a light for all to see. On the day in which the Lord returns, in final victory over death, he will destroy the veil that is cast over all peoples. He will swallow up death forever. Then God will wipe away the tears from all faces. On that day we will say, "This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Feel the good news in your hearts. Know that in Jesus Christ we are a new creation. In him we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh,
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and the Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Joshua. Now therefore revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, please do so. I love Palm Sunday for lots of reasons. One of the reasons is it's the only time of the year I get to bring plants in church and wave them around. In fact, not only do I get to, I'm supposed to, right? Yeah. I have a memory that always comes to me on Palm Sunday, and I want to share it with you because I think it's important in terms of how we listen to the stories from the Bible. A long, long time ago, when I was a young man, I got to be in a play about Jesus and about the Jesus story. It was called the Smoky Mountain Passion Play. And because I played several parts in it, one of the parts involved being one of the people who waved the palm branches as Jesus came in. Well, there was a hill. Come on down and join us. There was a hill and a path down the hill, and we had one cast member, a donkey named Jack, who was just as faithful as he could be. He was always right there, ready to go, always moved on cue, was never really stubborn like some of the other cast members were. But I remember the smell of the earth. I remember the smell of the donkey. I remember seeing the person who played Jesus riding down that hill and waving those palm branches. And every time I did, there was a real excitement about all of that. We're telling that story today. That's right. There's a real excitement about it, isn't there? For you too. Well, you know, we're telling that story today. And when we tell some of these stories about Jesus, sometimes they just sound like a whole lot of words, 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 words. But what I hope for all of us they are is something like what I experienced. So I want you to close your eyes, if you would, with me, and we're going to imagine we're on a hill somewhere, and we can smell the earth maybe after rain. You know what the dirt smells like after rain? And here comes the donkey with the man in long robes. And there are people waving palm branches, some of them throwing the palm branches down in front of the donkey. So we grab a palm branch and we start waving it as well. We get caught up in the excitement. Hosanna, they're shouting, and pretty soon we're shouting Hosanna. And before you know it, we're a part of the story. We're in there. We're watching Jesus and we're waving those palm branches. That's the way I hope you hear all these stories we tell. I'll be telling some more stories up here during the sermon, but I want you to kind of pick out where this story fits in among the rest of them, okay? Let's pray. We thank you, God, for giving us imaginations so that we can participate in your story, in all the stories, especially in the stories of Jesus. In his name we give you thanks. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Two entrances. Entrance number one. The people have come into the land of promise. Now, this promise was made a long, 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 long time ago. Okay? Moses didn't make it. Instead, it's Joshua who leads the people into the land. They're getting settled in. They're living in houses they did not build. They're cultivating fields that they did not clear. Life is becoming much easier. So Jacob calls them all to Shechem. Now, Shechem in the ancient world was a crossroad. Abraham had been at Shechem. Jacob had been at Shechem. Joshua calls them to Shechem because the people are at a crossroads, you might say. It was hard enough to follow the Lord while they were wandering in the wilderness depending upon God for manna to eat every day. But now they can depend upon themselves. Now they can grow their own stuff. They won't have any more need of this God, will they? Or will they? So Joshua calls the people out, and he tells them a story. He tells them their own story. It doesn't begin with the release from captivity in Egypt. No, it begins with Abraham and Sarah and a promise God made, a promise that these people were getting to live out. And then he poses a question. Choose this day whom you will serve. Do you want to serve the God your ancestors served before our God spoke to Abraham, called Abraham and Sarah out of everything they knew into complete mystery, to a place that they had never heard of? You want to worship the gods of Egypt, the gods of power, the gods of great armies and military might and slavery? Or are you going to worship the Lord? When you see that L-O-R-D in caps in Scripture, it's the translation of a specific Hebrew word, actually four Hebrew letters, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. We say Yahweh, but the vowels are not in Hebrew. It's the name that God gives to Moses at the burning bush. We don't actually know what it means, but it means something like, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. This is the name of the God of the Hebrew people, the God of the Israelites. So Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. Some of these other gods, some of these gods of our neighboring peoples, or will you serve the Lord who has been woven into your story all these years? Which story will you live out? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Entrance number two. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the very last time, really, making a journey that will lead to a place that he'd been telling his disciples about for a long time, and they still really haven't gotten it. They're waving those palm branches and they're shouting, and they think he's going to establish a throne of some kind, that he's going to replace the Roman rule with something that God had intended all along. Jesus knows that what he's going to find at the end of this journey is an execution and a cross. He's been telling them all along. They haven't quite heard yet. Throughout this week, Jesus will be telling his followers their own story. He'll be telling anyone who will listen the story of the God of Abraham, all the way back to Abraham and the promises God made. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And then he will live out those promises in stark and surprising ways. He will live them out by demonstrating God's expansive love. He had talked about God's love, a love that expanded to include a Syrophoenician woman, expanded to include a Samaritan woman, expanded to include Gentiles. But later in the week, it would expand to include the very people who were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. It would expand to include the people who drove the spikes through his wrists. The kind of love that is unending. That is the story that Jesus not only tells, but lives out. And so this week presents that same kind of question that Joshua put to the children of Israel. Choose this day which story you're going to serve. Do you want to serve the story of the emperor? Do you want to serve the story of Herod? Do you want to serve the story of great military power and might and prestige and riches? Or do you want to serve the one who embodied the story of how God brings life out of death, of how God takes our weakest moments and turns them into our strengths? About how God overcomes hatred and violence with the sheer power of love. Jesus says it to Pilate, if I wanted to, I could call armies of angels down here, but that's not what this kingdom is about. It's about something you can't even begin to imagine. It's about a power more powerful than any emperor, any king, any president, anyone. It's about the power of God's love, expansive, inclusive, endless. It's interesting how these stories put such a stark contrast and point on what we're being asked to do, how we're being asked to choose. I don't know if you are familiar with Nashville Reads. It's a program the mayor started, and the idea was that every Nashvillian would read the same book at the same time. This year it's Life of Pi. And a while back, my daughters Lizzie and Sarah and I got to go hear Jan Martel, who is the author of that book. He had grown up in Quebec. His, I think, probably grandparents or great-grandparents had been Catholic, but his family was really very secular. They believed in reason. They believed in logic. They believed in science. Religion was superstition, primarily. They wanted nothing to do with it. And he had grown up knowing that, believing that, really. He had gone to India to write a book about Portugal. I never quite got why he went to India to write a book about Portugal. But he wound up writing a book about India. And the story in the book begins, "I will tell you a story that will make you believe in God." Wow, what a story is that? Because you see, Jan Martel was not satisfied with what could be provided by rationality, logic, science. There was something missing, that element of imagination that allows us to participate in story, in other people's lives. And so I hope I don't give too much away if you haven't read it or seen the movie. But it's basically a story about a young man who goes on an odyssey. Literally. He, first of all, begins to explore different religious traditions, and each tradition is delighted that he's come to be a part of theirs, but they're quite dismayed and condemning when he goes to explore someone else's religious tradition, because, of course, we have all the answers. We have it right, right? God is contained in what we believe. I will be who I will be, contained in any container? I don't think so. In any case, his family owns a zoo. They decide to move the whole family and the zoo across the ocean. In the midst of that, the ship sinks. And the rest is the story of his survival on the lifeboat. He tells the story to the narrator, essentially the person who's interviewing him. It's a marvelous story. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. And then at the end of the story, he's interviewed by two Japanese representatives of the owners of the ship that sank. And when he tells them this story, they don't believe him. They say, "That's incredible. That couldn't happen." He said, "You don't like that story?" They said, "No, because it couldn't happen. Tell us a story that'll help us understand why this ship sank." So he tells them a different story. It's very similar in some ways. They like that story a little bit better. And then he says, "Okay, you choose. You pick the story. And I'll leave it at that." Because you see, that's where we are. This week and every week, we are asked, "Choose this day whom you will serve." You know, Bob Dylan said it, you're going to serve somebody. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the story that says strength is being armed to the teeth? Or are you going to serve the story that says strength is being willing to go to a cross going to serve the story that says power is all about emperors and armies. You're going to serve the story that says power is about trusting in God, who has been faithful throughout all of these many, many, many eons. You're going to serve the story about Pilate, Herod. You're going to serve the story about this ragtag rabbi from Galilee who rides into town on a donkey, for God's sake, not even a horse. That's left to Pilate, who's coming in from the other side of town. So, during this week, we have to decide which story we serve. Almost every year, something comes out about Easter time that throws Christians into a tizzy. This year, I think maybe it was the Bible on the History Channel. I've not seen it. I actually read the book. I recommend it too, by the way. A few years ago, it was the Da Vinci Code. Back when I was a kid, it was the Passover plot. And people will come to me, they'll say, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? People are going to fall away from church. They're going to stop believing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, we just keep telling the same story we've been telling 2,000 years. These other things come and go. How many of you remember the Passover plot? I see one hand. An old gray-haired guy like me. Kirk. How many of you know this story we're about to tell this week? This is a story that lasts. This is a story that sticks. You can be faithful to this story because this story is faithful to you because the God who tells this story is a faithful God. So I put it to you, choose this day whom you will serve. The gods of your ancestors that were worshiped beyond the river, the gods of the Egyptians, or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, I will be who I will be, the God of Jesus. The choice is yours. One of the ways we continue to tell our story is through our creeds and affirmations. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn with me to number 883 in your hymnal, and we'll tell this story together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
What a tremendous blessing it is that God has called us together for worship this morning. If you are our guest today, please make sure to join us in Reed Hall for fellowship after the service. It's through those doors to your right. If it's your first time here this morning, make sure to stop by the Bread for the Journey table. We have a fresh baked gift for you and some information about the exciting things going on around here. Make sure to note the gray cards in your pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership. The reverse is for prayer requests. Make sure to note on those prayer requests if you'd like them to be kept confidential. And then you can place it in the offering plate when that comes through in just a moment. Also, please pass the attendance pads down your row if you've not already done so. When it reaches the end, pass it back down the row and take note of who's worshiping next to you and in your row this morning. Let us now move our hearts and minds towards prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are thankful for your courage and faithfulness when entering Jerusalem at Passover. In spite of false perceptions and misunderstanding by so many, you provided us a glimpse of eternity. For a moment in time, we saw goodness and truth, peace and love, in glorious triumph over the powers of darkness and death. O God, do not allow us to lose that vision. In spite of the human propensity to crush goodness and to refuse to live in peace, continue to lift up your beloved child as the embodiment of all your great redemptive promises for all of the creation. O God, we are indeed thankful for that humble Christ, that the humble Christ has been exalted and glorified by you, that Christ is the beginning and the end of creation and is making all things new. May that parade remind us and all of your children of the new heaven and the new earth and the new life that will surely come because of the faithfulness of the Messiah, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, in response to the generous work of God in our lives, may we continue to worship through the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Before I send you forth, let me just say that for those who exit from this door, I won't be hugging or shaking your hand today. I've been pretty puny this past week, and I don't want to become Typhoid Michael or anything and share what I have with you. So I will bow and greet you. I'll wave. I'll smile. I'll be delighted to see you, but I won't touch you. And now go forth to serve the God of heaven and earth. Yod He Vav He. I will be who I will be, knowing that that very same God accompanies you. Jesus Christ shows you the way, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to follow this day and every day. Go in peace.